This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I gotta loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I appreciate a lot of the emails. I appreciate a lot of the Facebook and Twitters and Instagram messages, especially the ones that aren't predators. So thank you, guys. I've been getting a lot of clean messages lately. It's been really, really nice. But one thing that I'm having a little bit of a challenge answering is what I would recommend for you and your child when it goes to returning to school. Okay, I kind of wrote a piece on, you know, certain medical conditions that might put your child at risk or medications or things like that. But there's a lot of healthy parents and kids out there, God bless them, all of them, that they're not really sure what to do. And so, you know, I'll give you my advice as a parent, but I'll also give you my advice as a doctor. Now, this doesn't work for everybody because everybody's school district is different. And a quick shout out to all the school districts who have been busting their butts all summer. Nobody took a vacation this summer. None of us did. All right? Who busted their butts to try to come up with a plan that, you know, on what would be safe for kids. And so, one thing that's circulating that I'm getting asked about is this, and I don't want to name the school, but there's this one, I don't know if it's within the district or if it's just the school, is asking parents to make a decision, right, in the next week or so, and that decision they need to commit to for the semester. Okay, don't make me commit. I'm not good at committing. I committed to Corey, that's fine, but other than that, you know, if you say, look, let's do something 3 Saturdays from now, stuff comes up. Okay, I've lived in a life where stuff just comes up, whether it's a fire, whether it's a whatever. I just can't count on my life being the way it is today 3 weeks from now. So for those of you that have an ultimatum or a restriction or a commitment that you have to make, you better kind of err on the side of caution on which you're going to do. So I get why some of the school districts need to do this. They need to plan ahead staffing. They need to know, you know, who they're going to staff, who they're going to, you know, how much food they're going to order, you know, what they're going to do in terms of cleaning supplies, what they're going to do for supplies. So they kind of need to know exactly how many kids are coming. They can't have this, well, I think I'm going to leave my kid out of school today, but I'll bring them back on Friday, or I might just do a once a week thing. They get parents. Schools get parents. And parents will take advantage. Okay? And parents will non-commit. And they're like, look, okay, you know, up until now, school was mandatory. So either your kid is doing this track or your kid is doing this track or this cohort or this cohort. Okay? So if you see that you are committed to taking a cohort, you better make sure you're choosing the right one. So then you want to read a little deeper. And many of us parents are like, kids, go back. Just, you know, put a shirt on and some pants on for crying out loud. Finally take a shower, put some deodorant on and get the hell out of the house and go to school. All right? So that's as a parent where I'm at. However, when you do start to read some of the fine lines on how school is going to look, it's really interesting. There's no congregation. And mind you, I get why the schools are doing this. But with some of these schools, they're like, there's no congregation in the morning. So you know how you kind of wait for the bell or you wait to see your friends? None of that. Okay, you need to either wait on the bus, or you need to wait in the car, or you need to be waiting in a certain area and you need to social distance. Then you got the temperature things, then you got the screens or whatever they do, and then you go in, and again, no congregating, no crowds. You need to go to a classroom. Now, that classroom might be in a gym, might be outside, because there's apparently some new data saying that indoors the virus could hang around for 14 minutes in a droplet. 14 minutes. So some classes are thinking about outdoors. Some classes are thinking about putting you in the gym, and then you would be separated. So, you know, the first day, everybody's going to be giggling, right? Okay, but then in between classes, or if you don't get in between classes, there's really not a lot of move around time and socializing. And then some school districts are kind of doing away with lunch, where you just eat lunch in the classroom. Now, how many of you guys were bullied in school? Okay. How many of you sat there in class with somebody doing wet willies? Or you know what people do? They would grab my bra strap, pull it, and I'd be like, no, please don't. Then I'd go snap, and they're like, ow. All right, so even though I'd be in class and somebody would be far enough away to get to my bra strap, maybe not in the front, but in the back, let's say you don't like the kids in that class. Now, those are the ones you basically are eating lunch with. Okay, you know, I used to bolt out of my classroom, find my group of friends, and that's where I would have my safety. Well, if you're in a classroom and you don't get to kind of be with your friends and all that, and you're just kind of sitting there, that could be an issue if you're in a class with people that you don't like. So parents need to kind of realize that the sending to kids to school for the social aspect, you know, because they need to be around other kids, it doesn't look like that's how the curriculums are being designed, because they have to be COVID era. I mean, if you can't walk into a bank without standing there quietly, 6 feet apart, with your mask, basically hands to yourself, arms to yourself, do you think a school is going to allow the kids to be going all like this? No. And so, you know, let's say you have a kid that gets in trouble a lot with their teachers. Okay? All right? If it was me, I see how many places I'd get in trouble. I would get in trouble standing in line. I'd get in trouble with the bubble gum. I'd get in trouble, you know, making jokes about the temperature. Right? I'd be like, oh, you know, are you going to do it? Yeah, where are you going to take the temperature from? You know, put my butt out. I could see myself getting yelled at because I'm congregating, getting yelled at for talking to the girls' bathroom, getting yelled at for, and, you know, so if you have a kid where you just want them to learn and stay out of trouble, you know, look and see how many times you think your kid is going to get dinged during the in-classroom setting. And then organize with parents, if you do choose the online setting, how the kids could still get together and still be able to do sports or clubs or whatever. Most schools, you know, for sports, they're still going to make sure they social distance and, you know, do those kinds of things. I think sports are very, very important. But if you have a kid that, you know, doesn't really follow the rules really, really well, and you think they're going to be, you know, if you think they're going to learn from home and you think you can handle it for the semester and you think they're also at risk, you know, from a medical risk, you know, in terms of getting exposed to flu and coughs and colds, I might choose the online learning. If you think that your kid isn't going to learn jack diddly squat at home and you think they're healthy-wise, then you might want to consider sending them to school. But just realize they're not getting much of a social life going back to school this next semester. 1-877-DOCTOR. Guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
With gun theft on the rise, it's crucial that law-abiding citizens hide their guns from criminals who are now becoming desperate. Learn exactly how with the newly updated Hide Your Guns e-manual, written by a former U.S. Special Forces officer who now reveals his field-tested secrets. Whether it's sneaky ways to hide your guns in plain sight or using extremely clever hiding places that even skilled thieves will never suspect, learn how to hide other valuables too, like cash, gold coins, credit cards, cards so that they're safe from thieves, but back in your hands instantly when needed. All this week, get 4 free bonuses when you order. Gun Debate Bootcamp, How to Argue with Liberals About Guns and Win Every Time audio program. Our No BS Home Defense Report, the best-selling Your Home, Your Fortress e-manual, and a special mystery bonus worth $25. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Don't let your guns be stolen and used in a crime. Go to hideyourguns.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALLY. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. So, you can't make this stuff up. Dr. Anthony Fauci has a baseball card. Now, my brother used to collect baseball cards. I actually wanted to collect baseball cards. I had a tough time getting into baseball. I liked football a little bit more. Baseball, I thought, was a little too slow for me, but I really thought baseball was cool. I was born in L.A., so the team that I kind of found myself closest to were the Dodgers. Don't give me any crap. They did really well with the Astros the other day. So, yeah, as long as nobody cheated. But, so I like the Dodgers. And, Anthony Fauci, I guess, threw the ceremonial first pitch at the Major League Baseball opening. And people gave him a hard time, right? They said the reason why his you know, pitch didn't make it is because he was trying to, what did Governor Sisolak say? Trying to demonstrate he doesn't want anybody to catch anything? I don't know. Who knows? Okay, so listen. It really shows you that we, you know, that we really underappreciate what these baseball players do to be able to get that ball across the plate. Okay, he threw. You know, people think, gosh, really, doctors can't throw. No, you don't understand. Dr. Fauci threw better than a lot of us doctors. Okay, but there's some doctors out there that are baseball players and they're pretty athletic. So don't think that Dr. Fauci represents all of us. But just know that his baseball pitch was way better than mine would have been. Mine would have gone backwards. I'm the type of person when I throw, I drop things so the ball goes behind me. So there's a baseball card. Apparently it was being sold, I think, for $9.95, and it sold out. So now, with demand and very little supply, prices go up. So I'm hearing that on eBay, there are people putting, quote, buy it now prices on eBay for a Dr. Fauci baseball card. Okay, so I put the link up on my Facebook page. I mean, you know, collector's items, that's just a whole entire thing. I mean, I love to collect medical antiques. I just love medical antiques. They're probably not worth much because if there's nobody that wants to buy it, then it's worth, you know, a few bucks. But all of a sudden, you get a market where somebody wants it. All of a sudden, the price just inflates. So, you know, right now, you know, a 1910 vaginal speculum, nobody wants. It's worthless. But all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I want a vaginal speculum from the early 1900s. Boom, I start making bucks. So same thing, not that I'd sell it. I really like my medical antiques. But same thing with Dr. Fauci. If COVID memorabilia, which we're going to talk about, ends up being worth something, I see a whole entire market of things we want to, like, you know, like a nasal swab. I mean, you know, if this goes down into history 100 years from now, right? Imagine if you could buy, I'm a doctor, right? So, and I love medical antiques. If I could buy some of the, like, masks and things used back in 1918 during the Spanish flu, I would pay top dollar for it. That, to me, is cool. Well, that's what's happening now. So now with COVID, there are certain things, like the no mask, no service, things like that. Keep those. Because in 100 years, if you're still alive, assuming there's no COVID, you might be able to sell them. Because your great-grandchild will be like, oh my gosh, those are COVID-era stuff. That's very, very cool. So anyway, that's what people are doing with the Dr. Fauci baseball card. Now, Dr. Fauci is being grilled by the House Committee now on the coronavirus response and the coronavirus and his predictions. And he's kind of dropped a couple bombs, all right? One is, he doesn't think COVID is going away anytime soon. So this idea that it's going to die off in the summer, I think we've all been like, we were wrong on that one. Okay, and also he is so optimistic that we will have a vaccine. I think so too. When you have over 150 companies, you know, some of whom, you know, made the Z-Pack, right, and or made, you know, some of the most amazing medications we use, you know, to fight cancer. I'm not surprised. I think they're going to come up with a vaccine. So he's optimistic about that. All right. He did, however, say, and there's going to be more coming from him. You know, there's going to be more coming, you know, from this, from his testimony. But he did say that the disparity between the state's approach to masks and social distancing and rules probably led to why we've had this propagation of it. And, you know, he brings up a point, okay? It didn't really make a lot of sense to, you know, people in, let's say, Nevada, where you could have one state wide open next to us, and then you have another state completely restricted, because those people that are completely restricted are going to just head east, and they're going to head to Nevada, right? So, if you're trying to control the spread, and you're trying to tell people to stay home, people aren't going to want to stay home. Now, some other states are like, well, don't come here. If you're going to come here, you need to quarantine. You need to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that's basically them saying, we don't want you here. But there really wasn't a homogeneous approach to social distancing and masks. And this is something we've talked about. I think the theme of today is wherever we are now with COVID isn't that much different than when we were earlier in the year. Because where are we at now? Well, we still have cases. We still have COVID-related deaths. We still have hospitals struggling. We have some of the people wearing masks, some of the people don't. We have a lot of disagreement on how much these masks are doing. In fact, studies are coming out saying, you know, masks help, but they aren't 100%. Well, we knew that. I mean, you know, nothing's really that, you know, this was 2020. Everybody thinks that all this brand new medicine came out this year. To be honest, it just kind of recircled. Now hydroxychloroquine might be coming back. Apparently, the Ohio Department of Health has reversed their plan on banning hydroxychloroquine. So they might be bringing it, allowing doctors to use it if they need to. So this back and forth vicious cycle, here we are today, coming into August, right? 2020. We still have cases of COVID. We still don't know how asymptomatic people are shedding it, you know, and shedding, S-H-E-D-D-I-N-G. Okay, got to be careful, it's on air. All right, we believe that we still don't know if people get COVID two or three times, or if that first COVID reactivates. We still don't know about lifelong immunity. We still don't know if the vaccine is going to be just a one-time shot or if we have to do it every year. We still don't know if the vaccine is going to be one shot or multiple shots. And we still don't know when we're going to get our vaccine. Here we are, August 2020, and we're still in the exact same place. But don't be blaming Fauci. Fauci's been doing as good a job as he can. I know you guys get mad that I defend him, but I'm like, he's a nice little doctor. I mean, he's a nice guy, and he's you know, he's just one of us. You know, I mean, and vice, you know, when I say, you know, it just, you know, we look at this big, huge, monstrous beast of the media and of politicians and of Congress and of COVID and all that, and here we are. You know, we're just little doctors, just, you know, not little in terms of size, but in terms of, you know, just we're only, you know, one human being that we're trying to put everything together, and we're trying to be a conduit of information and trying to be the liaison between all this, and we don't know what the hell we're dealing with. It's a crappy virus. So my concern, though, is these mask mandates and these you know, having people stay at home, or, you know, like in California, you know, we're on our way to California, you know, we want to see some family and all that, can't go out to eat anywhere. I mean, I think there's some restaurants, but you're not supposed to dine in, or I don't know what the heck is going on. Okay, well, that's fine and dandy, but you have traffic. You have, I mean, you know, did the world really expect everybody to just shut down in their homes? If everybody shut down and hankered down, bunkered down, that's what everybody was expecting, which is why they bought my toilet paper. But apparently you need your power to run. So somebody's got to go to the power company. Someone's got to go and do that. You need law enforcement. You need hospitals. You need doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners and PAs. You need chiropractors. You need dentists. So we didn't really do a lockdown. So Dr. Fauci kind of brings that up and you know, clarifies that that's an issue. I don't know if he's going to be grilled on his baseball technique or is a pitching technique. So, you know, where are we at now? So we have a much better hospital regimen. We found that remdesivir does well. We're still going back and forth where some people are doing well with hydroxychloroquine, and you can bet your butt some doctors are still using it. You know, they're going to probably watch your heart very carefully, and there's probably going to be waivers. But if they're worried about COVID and COVID killing somebody, they're going to use whatever they have, right? Whether a person likes Donald Trump or not doesn't matter. If we have a medication that might work for you, I mean, I'm telling you right now, you know, God forbid I get COVID, and God forbid I'm, you know, very seriously ill, and that remdesivir and that oxygen and that Zithromax and that zinc and that vitamin C and that vitamin D and that famotidine and, I don't know, the pulmonary toilet or whatever the hell you guys are doing on my lungs, if that's not working, you slap me, right, on a plate some hydroxychloroquine, right, with a steak, because I'm going to be hungry. I don't care about the lack of taste. Just spice that steak up, and you give me that hydroxychloroquine. Watch my heart. Make sure we have a cardiologist on standby. God forbid I go into an abnormal rhythm. But I mean, you know, if we're talking life or death, you use what you can. I you know, so things are changing, and they're changing. We've made some progress, but if you really kind of look at it, we're kind of right to the same place we were months ago. 1-877-DOCTOR.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
With political pressure rising, talks on a huge coronavirus relief measure resumed today, focused on restoring a newly expired $600 per week supplemental unemployment benefit, a fresh $1,200 direct payment to most Americans, and hundreds of billions of dollars in aid to states, businesses, and the poor. President Donald Trump is eager for an agreement, but talks so far have not yielded progress. The administration is willing to extend the $600 jobless benefit in the short term, but is balking at other demands Democratic negotiators keep adding to the bill. The $600 per week jobless benefit officially lapsed yesterday, and Democrats haven't made it clear whether they will extend it without securing other bill priorities. Principal negotiators, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and top Senate Democrats Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi met again in hopes of breaking the stalemate. This is USA Radio News. Florida, which is continuing to battle a coronavirus surge, is now preparing for Hurricane Isaias, complicating efforts to contain the virus. The entire east coast of Florida is bracing for potential impact. The hurricane has maximum sustained winds of over 80 miles an hour and is moving over Andros Island in the Bahamas. The center of the storm was expected to move near or over Grand Bahama Island late in the day before heading toward Florida's east coast tonight and tomorrow morning. Florida's governor has declared a state of emergency, urging residents to have 7 days' worth of food, water, and medicine ready. The Justice Department scheduled 2 additional federal executions, an announcement that comes weeks after it fought off last-minute legal challenges and successfully resumed federal executions following a 17-year pause. The executions of Christopher Villalba and William LaCroix are both scheduled to be carried out in late September. The government carried out 3 executions in July, and 2 other executions had been previously set for August. This is USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Maybe, maybe you'll turn back to me when I tell you you're just so
crazy. All right, guys, we are back on Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. It's a reflex. I don't know why I keep waving. I just wave. I just do that every time I see the camera. Don't ask why. Need to stop doing that. Okay, and one thing I'd like everybody to stop doing is while, you know, our friend and, for me, radio mentor and colleague and, you know, patriot is, you know, being, you know, is trying to rest in peace, we have this big debate on whether it was Donald Trump's fault and his Tulsa rally on why Herman Cain got COVID. And people are asking me over and over again, what were his medical issues? What were his medical issues on both sides? Right? You have a 74-year-old African-American man who, every time I met him, I mean, you know, he had the energy, he had the, he was spry, he was just so charismatic. He appeared healthy, but as a doctor, you know, you observe some things. And, you know, you observe, you know, well, you know, as, you know, is his abdomen distended at all? No. You know, how do his eyes look? Does he look jaundiced? No. Does he, you know, and I don't like to medically diagnose anybody when they don't ask me to, so I usually shut the heck up, right? But the reason why there's such debate on both sides is because I think people are a little scared. You know, a lot of you have not known somebody who died of COVID. You've heard of COVID, you've seen your friends have COVID, but for many of you, you've never actually known somebody that actually got COVID and died. And so Herman Cain, for many people in my neck of the woods, because he was very, very hands-on with a lot of people, for many of us, he was the first person we met personally, knew personally, that died of COVID-related complications. So I'm here, I'm supposed to give you guys the facts. I could give you my opinion, but in terms of the facts with Herman Cain, all we're being told, not by media, is that he died of complications to COVID-19. Okay? Now, that term isn't always used. A lot of times people say, yeah, COVID-19 killed him. So what's a COVID-19 death? Well, somebody, you know, starting to get a little bit of cough, starting to get some body aches, starting to get some fever, starting to get some of those symptoms, and then all of a sudden it just snowballs, and then they start filling up with that gook in their lungs, and then they have trouble breathing, they need to be put on a ventilator, etc. And so when we see a progression of COVID, meanwhile, the heart is looking fine. We don't see a secondary bacterial infection. We see the other organs working well. But somebody keeps progressing, unfortunately, and deteriorating due to COVID, that is a COVID death. That is a COVID-caused COVID death. If there is somebody who has some heart issues, some coronary artery disease, major atherosclerosis, a little bit of an arrhythmia, maybe some hypertrophy of the left ventricle, maybe a little bit of fluid in their lungs, some early CHF, whatever, or some diabetes, or, you know, and then all of a sudden they get COVID, and COVID accelerates, let's say, a heart attack or a heart failure or something else, then those are technically COVID-related deaths because the person might not have died anytime that week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but he got COVID. Now, whether all the hospitals or medical centers are using those terms exactly the way they are is up for grabs because I code, you know, whenever I see a patient medically, and it's a little different. You know, I don't like to diagnose somebody with something until I've tested them for it. So how I was taught, if somebody, let's say, you know, is starting to get, you know, a goiter, they're fatigued, they're gaining weight, I'm like, I need to make sure you don't have a thyroid disorder. I was taught you are not allowed to put hypothyroid. If you put that diagnosis hypothyroid, you're basically diagnosing them without getting all the facts. And so then I was, as a medical student, going, well, why can't I say rule out hypothyroidism? You can, but you can't rule out, it's not a diagnosis. You have to put what they honestly got to have. Well, they have fatigue and they have a goiter. Then that's what you put as the diagnosis. So that's how you do it in medicine. So if somebody comes in with shortness of breath, you might be like, whoa, all these people around me have COVID. We're calling it COVID. Can't technically call it COVID. That guy has shortness of breath. This is what I teach medical students. So if that guy has shortness of breath, you better also think about the heart. You better also make sure it's not like a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot, or, you know, some other, make sure it's not like a pneumothorax, you know, the lung lining dropped, whatever. Get your test first, and then if you think it's COVID or it's COVID positive, you call it COVID. If not, it is shortness of breath or dyspnea or hypoxia if they don't have enough oxygen. You have to put as the assessment what they honest to God have, because otherwise if you're thinking COVID, nobody's checking the heart. Nobody's, you know, watching. Well, in the hospital they will, but, you know, somebody who's a novice might be thinking, oh, okay, it's COVID. Let's just give him his remdesivir. Meanwhile, they might need diuretics. So hospitals, and we talked about this, had difficulty in the beginning getting COVID testing. So they didn't have the tests. So the CDC said, look, if the guy died, it looks like COVID, it sounds like COVID, you could call it COVID on the secondary or tertiary diagnosis. That's why we have a lot of these COVID diagnoses. So now with Herman Cain, people are like, well, what happened to him? What's his medical history? Well, the very few times I've spoken with Herman Cain, we didn't really get up into his business, you know? All right? I mean, we knew he had metastatic colon cancer, which he was, you know, able to successfully battle. I don't know if he ever had a recurrence of it. I don't know if he ever had coronary artery disease. I don't know if he ever had diabetes. I don't know if he ever had hyperuricemia from gout. So, you know, an African-American 74-year-old black male, many times they might fall, you know, into the hypertensive group, or they might have diabetes or arteriosclerosis, but we don't know, okay? That really hasn't been made public. I'm sure it will be, all right? But what everybody wants to know is, did that rally, where there was a lot of politicizing of wearing masks or not, be the cause of his death? Well, what we do know is he did travel a lot. All right. I think he also traveled to Arizona, so he traveled a lot. And if he chose to not wear a mask at one rally, then, you know, did he also not wear a mask, you know, when he went to a grocery store or when he was around another one of his family members or you know? So I think based on, you know, all the, you know, based on what I know about COVID, you can't say somebody gave you COVID. You can't blame an employer saying you gave me COVID, all right? Because somebody needs to then contact Trace and find out, well, where else did they go? Did they go to a grocery store? Did they go on a date? Did they, you know? And then you have to find out that person you went on a date with if they were exposed. So we're not going to get that data. But the reason why it's being talked about is I think some people are scared. All right, you have a lot of people that were looking at this going, wait a second here. Okay, he looked like a pretty healthy man, pretty spry. He looked healthy at the event. I mean, as much as you could tell in a two-dimensional photo. And, wow, did he die because he went to a rally? Well, I'd like to see that same fear, you know, or that same question asked with everything when we're seeing people protest and try to, you know, assault federal buildings. And, you know, apparently somebody got stabbed. A reporter got stabbed the other night who was following some people from a protest. I mean, I'd like to kind of see that same concern with all of this. I mean, it could be that, you know, it could be that Herman Cain was exposed to COVID at the rally. And that's a horrible, horrible thing to think about. But and you hope it didn't happen, but it might happen. We don't know. I mean, until somebody contact traces and somebody can, you know, check the actual strain of the virus that he got, you know, and be able to trace it back, we won't know for sure. But it scares people because they're like, wait a second, okay, you know, I thought this might have been a fake disease. It's not a fake disease. It's a real disease. It's real. But like I said earlier in the last segment, we know just as much or just as little today as we did in March, because I'm going to say the exact same thing to you now that I said back in March, okay? This virus picks and chooses who it decides to kill. And it seems to go after men. It seems to go after African Americans. It seems to go after those that might have an underlying coexisting disease, comorbidity, such as high blood pressure or diabetes, which we don't know if Herman Cain had. And so if you did have a room of people and you had older individuals and who were African American and who had medical diseases, there's a higher than normal chance that they're the ones that are going to be exposed. So we still have the question as to why some people die and some people don't. We can't figure that out unless it has to do with the comorbidity or a medication they're on or how quickly treatment was instituted. 1-877-DOC-DOLLAR. Doc Dolly, don't go away.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely. Hi guys, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning tuned in. Of course, my nose is running. 1-877-DOCDALI. 1-877-DOCDALI. So many of you are kind of nervous because you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs. You don't have a job to go back to. And there's this big debate on what's going to happen to the extra $600 a week as part of your unemployment. And this is also a very contentious topic because you have a lot of business owners upset that they can't get employees to apply or come back to work because the $600 a week is pretty, you know, cush. That's an extra $2,400 a month. That's on top of the, I think, 70 to 75% of previous wages you get from unemployment. So some of you are making $1,000, $1,500 a week, whatever, and it's, you know, why go back to a job, get yourself exposed to COVID? All right. You have both sides of the aisle kind of going back and forth on this. Donald Trump has expressed support for continuing the $600 a week extension. However, it's not indefinite. I think what the administration wants to do is, well, let's just go week by week. All right? Whereas Congress is like, no, we're going to submit a package and that's going to have a date. You know, like whether it's the fall or whether it's Christmas time or whatever. And so, you know, how is that $600 working for people? Well, for those that don't have a job, that don't really have a job to go to, it's saving their butts. It's helping feed their families. It's helping still infuse money into the economy. But for those people who were offered a job and they're like, nah, we're seeing business owners, you know, scratch and claw for oxygen as they can't get employees to come. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but almost every place I've been to since the reopenings, they all look understaffed. You know, and I see, you know, people get a little kind of antsy in the lines and all that, you know, and, you know, I'll see Corey kind of go, I don't understand why is it taking so long. And I go, because they only have two staff people. Look. And I'm looking at a whole store and you only see two people there. So, you know, getting people to go to work is the trick. So one answer that the GOPs have is, well, then why don't we offer an incentive to go back to work? Now, the incentive to go back to work is $450 a week. So if anybody does the math, like, wait a second, $600 versus $450 and get exposed? Nah. So the, quote, incentive to go back to work might actually have to be higher than that extra unemployment credit. Maybe what they need to do is either make that incentive higher or maybe lower a little bit, that unemployment extra credit. But the question that nobody's answering is, what do you do if your job is not reopening? What if you work for some of these hotels where they do not plan to reopen for a year? Because the mandates are just so restrictive and they don't see international travel happening soon. That, you know, what are they supposed to do? And unemployment benefits do expire. But on the other end, when you have people say, you know what, I could get part-time. This is a game some people play, unfortunately, is they'll get part-time unemployment. They'll say, my boss refuses to give me full-time hours. They're forcing me, which I understand why that's there. Sometimes you do have a boss that goes, sorry, I'm only going to give you 10 hours a week. Well, then they can still get their unemployment. But the problem we're hearing is some people were given full-time jobs. Full-time jobs. And they ask their manager, saying, oh, I got babysitting issues or whatever, so just give me 14.9 hours. And that gives them the cutoff so they still get the $600. So it stinks because for the most part, that $600 a week, I think most people back until they see people abuse the system and they're like, whoa. Well, then maybe stop the abuse. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, anybody who was ever offered a full-time job by their employer, that information gets sent to unemployment, so then unemployment knows that, you know, they are, well, this is a person that was offered a job and they're playing games. But what do you do about the people that have a family member that's at home that they don't want to expose them to COVID? I mean, I have two friends right now suffering from COVID. I haven't been around them, but it's very pretty. All right? And they're kind of young. And so, to me, COVID's real, all right? I know it might not be real to a lot of people, but it is still pretty real. And it's affecting people of any age. So if you do have, if you're like, look, I'm not worried about me, I want to support my family, but I also don't want to expose my parents that are living with us, now that's a problem. But then is that on the state or the government? Is that on the average taxpayer? Are you or I responsible for paying for your neighbor to be able to stay home because they're worried about the mother-in-law? So right now, I haven't been feeling it. I mean, whatever money the government's given out, I'm like, fine by me. I mean, I don't feel it. I go help everybody. We need it. But we are going to feel it. It's going to be in the form of inflation. The value of the dollar is going to crash. Something's going to happen. So then we all need to decide, well, what are we going to do? Well, there's not going to be enough industries. We've already talked about that. All right. When I drive around these shopping centers, every other unit is for lease. When I look at marquees, the signs aren't full. Although we do have a lot of businesses open, and their property manager just isn't putting the sign up, and that's a problem. You guys should get on your property managers if that happened. But, you know, automation's going to take over even faster than before because employers are tired of people calling out. I think I have COVID, so I can't come in. Well, if they need to run a business, they're like, you know what, fine, we're going to automate this, we're going to do this online, fine. Now we kind of get that call-out factor out of it. So us calling out like we're supposed to is going to accelerate our employment death. So I like the idea that there might be a $450 a week return to work stimulus. I hate the ideology behind that really we need to encourage you and bribe you to go back to work. Really? I mean, I don't really agree with why we have to do that, but if we're really having a problem out there where people are like, look, I'd be an idiot to give up the extra $600 a week, yeah, I see why we have to have the incentive. And I would rather government incentivize than penalize. I hate it when I hear there's a mandate like for health insurance, and if you don't buy it, you get penalized. I like incentives. So another thing with the stimulus package is there's going to be incentives to employers who keep people on payroll. It's going to incentivize people to go back to work. It's going to incentivize, they'll do payroll cuts. There's also going to be tax credits. So I like that idea. But another big question that people have is they own property. They have tenants, and the tenants aren't paying. Why? Because we have the eviction moratorium. Now, the eviction moratorium is a fantastic idea for those people that lost their jobs. They wanted to go back to work. They couldn't go back to work, and they need a place to live. It does no good for any of us having huge homeless populations. But you forgot who's owning those houses or those apartment complexes. Okay, they're not super rich. Some people, that's just, you know, they got an extra house. They need to make ends meet. So they're renting out rooms or they're renting out whatever. And that's their income. So if people aren't paying rent and they can't evict you, now they're stuck. And we're seeing all sorts of landlords beg for help because they could get their home taken away from the bank. If the bank is saying, look, okay, it's okay, we're not going to take your home away, but you will still owe on that mortgage. Now what do landlords do if their tenants haven't been paying rent for 5 months? They still have lost income. So I don't know if there's going to be any landlord relief in this as well. Don't forget about the landlords, because if they lose the apartment complexes or things get, you know, what's the word for it when you, it's not so much an eviction notice, but when there's another term for it where basically the bank's going to own the property and, you know, then you get kicked out. You know, these are things that we also need to guard against. So from what I understand, even though I think it's supposed to be summertime and I think the Senate or the House is supposed to be on vacation, from what I understand, something is supposed to be passed soon because it's the end of July and, you know, then August, so the unemployment benefits are going to run out. But our next move with stimulus packaging and things like that is we need to build more jobs. And I know people are like, well, down the line. I go, no, we need jobs now. If we were caught with our pants down with COVID because of hospitals being maxed, well, then why don't we start building more hospitals? Why don't we start building more public hospitals? Why don't we start, I mean, I think there's a lot of things we could build and then we could hire people for. But right now, if you're expecting the small business owner who's dying to hire their 5 staff employees back who don't want to come back, that's not going to keep this economy afloat. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Youngevity for over 17 years, since before it was Youngevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Youngevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.